Forget about the big things, oh. Say me could talk about the small things, oh.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Wiba Boor on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM. We are here today to talk about power solutions to our never-ending power problems in Nigeria that we now know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Today we have on our show Alex Obiachina, who is the CEO of ACOB Lighting, which is one of the fast-growing mini-grid companies in Nigeria, and he has a lot to talk to us about today. So Alex, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Weber. It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
And it's Alex's birthday today, so let's celebrate.
Thank you.
So, as
thank
we say in Hausa, barka da ranar haifuwarka.
Now good is to say.
So in spite of his name, this is a Dan Arewa. This is a Hausa boy. Born in Umuahia here, from Asaba, raised in Suleja and Abuja. So this is a true Nigerian.
Yes, Weber, just as you are. I mean, a lot of people who come across you will say, ah, this one now Oyibo, but they don't know you are more Niger.
All right. Okay, so for the Lagosians out there, we'll revert to English.
Exactly.
So again, thanks for coming on the show on your birthday. I understand you had a less than ideal flight here last night. Sorry about that.
No worries. It's all right. Part of the story.
All right, great. So tell us a bit about your background. You know, many of the listeners out there are thinking, you know, they're interested in power. They want to help solve the problem. But many of them probably feel like, okay, unless you have a degree in electrical engineering, or you've been in the sector for years, there's no way to get in. And you actually have a very interesting story. Like me, you have a social science degree. You don't have an engineering degree.
Great.
And you still use that, and you've now become one of the leaders of the sector. So let's walk through, you know, University of Abuja and from there, and how you got into solar from there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Wiba. It's a great honor and pleasure to be here. My name is Alex, as you said. I'm from Delta State. My trajectory in the renewable energy sector actually spanned from childhood. I've always had a passion for lighting. So I had an undergraduate degree in University of Abuja. I studied political science and international relations. From there, I actually proceeded to Cardiff Business School. I was in Cardiff Metropolitan University, where I had an MBA in product development management, and I had a special interest in energy efficient lightings as well. So coming back to Nigeria, I picked up that passion. So went into LED lighting. And as you know, LED lighting and renewable energy, it's all about the energy efficient thing, you know, and I got doing that, installing energy efficient street lighting solutions for state governments, for private individuals. Then the big one, you know, striking a very strategic partnership as well with Schneider Electric, which provided a very good technical support to my team, build a capacity, and we were able to start doing renewable energy solar installations like mini-grids, standalone systems, you know, trying as much as possible to do CNI for commercial users as well. And this has been the story, street lighting infrastructure, but DC, AC.
Right.
So for me, it's something that spans from passion. It goes beyond just what you learn. So for me, I'm not an engineer, and I don't go about impersonating
the political scientist. Yeah.
I'm a political scientist turned business entrepreneur and very passionate about what I do. So the important thing here, what I tell people, is passion.
Yeah.
As you know, the in thing now in not just Nigeria, in Africa, is renewable energy. I mean, the statistics is there. Just in 2018, I mean, the sector alone has attracted well over 11 million people employed working in the renewable energy
That's globally.
Space. That represents about 700,000 increase from 2017, what it used to be about 11.3 million. So what that shows you is that there's a growing interest, and Africa is the place. We have it. We have the abundance of natural lighting resources to help this sector thrive. And I tell people, where I am today is as a result of the passion. So I kept building my capacity. I kept learning. I kept exploring new opportunity. I kept networking. And many thanks to people like you, you know, doing a great job through your all-on platform, believing in young entrepreneurs in this space and seeing how well we grow. So I say to a lot of Nigerians, if Alex can do it, sincerely, you can do it. It has to start with a passion. And
right.
You have to believe in what you're doing. So we've been working. We've developed a couple of mini grids. We've also done a couple of CNIs in partnership with some reputable organizations as well. We've also done standalone installations for homes, for offices, and street lighting infrastructure. This is also big. We actually worked very closely with the Federal Capital Territory, maintaining one of the largest districts, which is the Airport Road and Onyx District, for about 2 years. So doing quite a lot of street lighting installations as well for state governments and so on. Yeah. So this has been the trajectories of what we're doing. And we can only but say we're just scratching the surface.
Exactly. So, but let's back up a little bit. Because you didn't mention this, but you also were part of a family business. And that's where you learned how to be an entrepreneur and how to run a business. You know, there may be, and it had nothing to do with solar. So maybe talk to us a little bit about that and then how you used what you learned there to help you build this business probably much faster and more effectively than you might have otherwise.
So it's also important to know that growing up as a child, you know, I was raised by a single mother. And she was a very industrious woman who, to God be the glory, she's late now. I remember her on the special occasion. Everything I can say in business that I learned today is as a result of a very strong entrepreneurial spirit.
So everyone getting power is thanks to her.
Sincerely. I honor her on this special day, sincerely, because without her, I don't think I'll be here as well. So she had a very good business, plastic furniture distribution business. So we distributed plastic furniture for companies like Altac and the rest of them. And you know, through that, as a young boy growing up supporting mom, we were able to learn a whole lot of, you know, the business ideas, you know. But again, my MBA, actually what it did was to fine-tune that knowledge and understanding and see how well you can actually do business in a corporate environment, you know. And I can say that was my humble beginning, and I'm still growing, sincerely.
And now you're bringing us light, so thank you. So now you kind of got in on some of the details, but tell us about ACOB Lighting. ACOB, is that from your initials? That's my guess. But tell us where the name comes from. Tell us how it started.
So a lot of people say my initials, but I try as much as possible not to personalize my company with my name. But it's just the name that we feel represents what the brand should actually be. ACOB, you know, it could be Africa, it could be something, but I mean, the brand was the brand was the fact that we needed to make it more Nigerian, more African, and I can tell you, I want to use this opportunity to also salute the great team. The team are quite composed of young people, mostly in less than 30, who are doing very innovative things, and I can tell you, these are people driven by passion, and I can say they've believed in this, and they are also one of the reasons why we're here. It takes more than one person to build a company, and that is what I'm actually trying to build and be remembered for as well.
So now you mentioned the solar street lighting.
Yes.
So you the airport road is now solar street lighting, is that correct?
So unfortunately, we actually do also grid maintenance. The airport road, which we were privileged to do for the Federal Capital Territory under the Abuja Metropolitan Management Council, we did that about 2 years and we handed that over. So it was purely operation and maintenance, O&M. So it was for 2 years and we handed that project over successfully. So basically it was just to maintain the infrastructure. We didn't build it. It was built by Julius Berger. And we just maintained and ensured that the lighting solutions, troubleshooting, the bulbs were working, and ensure that, you know, there was lighting for all.
But if there's proper maintenance, basically it can work.
Exactly. With good proper maintenance and with stable grids, it can also work. But again, you know, all still on the issue of cost, energy efficiency, and so on. So when you bring in the talks of renewable, you can also see the advantage the renewable actually provide. But we understand that government is also considering the very huge cost that comes with it. But this is why we're also trying to strategically work with government to see a government and every relevant stakeholders to see how we reduce cost, you know, through a strategic partnership, public-private partnership that could leverage on so many benefits, you know, not just do projects and hand over or drop it. Do projects and see through the lifetime and sustainabilities of those projects. That is actually one of the crux of what we're driving in the market.
So now let's go to mini grids, which I think is what made you famous. So you know, the listeners, we've had other mini grid players on here, but just to refresh their mind, what Lagosians probably haven't connected to mini grids, don't know about them. So what exactly is a mini grid, and what does it do for a community?
Okay, thank you. A mini grid is actually a decentralized power solution that is either isolated from the national grid or interconnected with the national grid. So as a lot of Nigerians know, we have the big power generating plants, Kanji dams and the rest of them, and we have the DISCO utilities, about 11 of them, which distributes this power. We all know that the statistic is clear. Close to about 100 million Nigerians don't have access to reliable, sustainable energy solutions. So what that means, it provides opportunity for a very huge market, especially people in the interior hinterlands, you know, in the rural areas, healthcares, rural villages, they don't have access to energy. So with the coming out of the mini grid regulation, which was passed in 2016, that has actually opened the vista to the off-grid space, where private developers like me could actually partner with government to bring in private equity, debt, and leverage on some grants that avail itself to see how we provide electricity to the least, to the last mile customers in the rural area through a pay-go system.
Okay.
Before now, government have always done installation or transformer through one agency or the other, or a local government or a state does that. But now it's not just about bringing this infrastructure, it's also about seeing to the sustainability.
Right.
But more importantly, one of the things that we do is not just bringing electricity. We also try to see how well we harness the value chain that promotes social economic activities within this community.
Okay.
One of such is, how do we promote irrigation farming by providing consistent water supply through electricity?
Okay.
How do we improve micro businesses, for instance? How do we ensure that, for instance, the guy who mills his palm oil manually can actually get an equipment that is powered by our energy to be more efficient in what he does? How do we bring business centers, for instance, the internet centers? How do we actually provide electricity to the small-scale engine, grinder, millers, you know, commercial shops? So we believe this is actually sustainable when you bring in a key maker model that looks beyond the sale of electricity, because the sale of electricity, to a large extent, there's a limit to which people can spend.
Right.
And the more they start spending so much, more than they actually envisage, energy efficiency comes in and demand starts to drop. This is actually a study that has been proven. So we go beyond the sale of electricity to see how well we improve the lives of these people.
So it's a comprehensive solution that
it basically
transforms these rural communities.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about one or two of the communities that you've put mini grids in. You know, where they are, and then sort of the stories that you've heard from there that kind of excite you.
Okay, so sincerely, what inspired me to go into this was actually the first project that we did for the Rural Electrification Agency in 2016.
Okay.
So what this did to me was to really show me that beyond making money, you can actually impact life and still make money.
Right.
So for me, it was a narrative that really inspired me. So I think that community was Ihuama community in Cross River State, in River State, in Ahoda. We had implemented this 16 kilowatt solar mini grid electrification, which was actually the first pilot set of mini grids that the Rural Electrification Agency awarded through the 2016 appropriation. And the day that project was to be commissioned, I saw old people, mm-hmm. hunters, shooting their dame guns, people in their lifetime.
Not at
me. I mean, just in jubilation.
Yeah, yeah.
People, you know, you never could actually imagine that light mm-hmm. would bring that level. You see people crying. So for me, I think that was more touching. Mm-hmm. It was more inspirational. And I said, Alex, if you could do 10 mini grids, you can mm-hmm. imagine how many lives you could touch. If you could do 100,
right.
then you would be touching actually a nation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is actually the narrative that is spurring us. Right. So,
and when you went into that project, it was more of a business opportunity, right? And then it I guess you saw the impact and then it changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was more of it because I can tell you through that we've been able to also... through that trajectory, we've been able to leverage on so many opportunities. We've been also been able to assess the Rural Electrification Fund, where we're actually running a 200 kilowatt solar mini grid allocation in Ogun State and Edo State.
Okay.
We're also doing...
Each one is 200 or...?
Each one is 100.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then we're also working with the USADF, which we're also working very closely, and hopefully we're thinking something positive will come out of there. And so many agencies, even the GIZ. I mean, presently we have a very good portfolio of site of close to a megawatt, which we're running in the south here. And hopefully we're thinking that will be positive as well.
Okay.
So we presently have a total portfolio capacity of about 3.5 megawatts that costs across 30 different communities in Nigeria.
Wow. Okay.
Our targets in the next 6 years is to see that we provide electricity to about 100 communities mm-hmm. in Nigeria.
Okay.
So we cannot do that alone, but leveraging on the support of relevant stakeholders mm-hmm. who provide active support to this sector, mm-hmm. I think we can achieve that.
Okay.
So it's a continuous process.
Well, so 3.5 megawatts.
Yes.
And then, but the impact on people's lives is going to be in the thousands.
It's going to be in the thousands.
Complete transformation.
Yes. And the impact goes beyond just the people we provide electricity. So one of the key drivers of what we do mm-hmm. is also trying to see how well we provide train-the-trainer platforms where we build capacity of people within those local communities. So most of the infrastructure works that we carry out, we source our manpowers and labor from that community.
And then you train them.
We get the carpenters to roof the powerhouse from there. We get the bricklayers to lay the blocks.
Mm-hmm.
We get people to dig the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We get people to be solar energy vending entrepreneurs who vend the tokens, you know, that they use them in recharging the meters.
Right.
As well as people we promote their businesses. So the truth is, a lot of people in the urban centers may not know the impact of this.
Right.
But I tell you, take a trip to the next solar mini grids very close to you, and you would appreciate, you know, the way people live their life.
Right.
And what this is going to do is, it's going to change a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
Sooner than later, you will see the drift from rural urban migration actually nosedive and reduce. Then gradually you start seeing big men going back to villages to say, I want to go spend the weekend because I know I got 24 hours electricity.
And in the city, I don't have it.
And the city don't have it. Yeah, and I don't know when you guys are going to have everything.
Yeah. So I know you talked about people should visit a mini grid site close to them. So you're in the process. You're soon going to commission one in Ogun State.
Yes.
So what's the community? And is the community ready to accommodate thousands of Lagosians coming to visit it or move there?
So what we're doing is in Oloji community. The project is about 50% completion rate. Now our commissioning hopefully is in first week of November.
Right. So and sorry, listeners, that's a very important point because usually when we think of power projects, you think of 5, 6, 7 years.
No.
And with mini grids, it's a matter of weeks.
It's a matter of weeks. Yeah. It's a matter of months.
You go from darkness to light.
To light, yes.
Complete,
It's more of a plug and play.
Yeah.
You understand it? I mean, you get all the solar panels, you get all the batteries, you have the distribution network. So most of what we have now for the mini grids are more of isolated mini grids. The interconnected mini grids are not so much for now. So it makes it a lot more easier to deploy.
Right.
You don't have to think of technicalities of balancing loads. When are the grids? Are you Are you of taking from the grid, or are you putting back energies into the grid? So it's a lot more simple. And with all the supports now, there's a whole lot of technical support. Mm-hmm. The NESP under the Nigerian Energy Support Project of the GIZ, the USAID, Nigerian Energy Support Project, mm-hmm. NPSP project is doing very well. All on as well. You guys are doing great. There's quite a lot. I can tell you, in this space now, this is one of the spaces that is attracting the best technical mm-hmm. support. And I can say Nigeria is the focus right now, because we got the population, mm-hmm. we got the numbers, we got the market. Mm-hmm. The market, the off-grid investment market alone is about a $10 billion yep. market opportunity. So what that shows is, in the next 10 years, business is still going. Yeah, and we're still booming.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you've talked a lot about the Rural Electrification Agency and the donor partners. I think we need to give credit where credit is due. I think this is one where we can say that a government agency has done remarkable work to kind of build a sector.
True.
And you've been at the center of that. So maybe give a plug to the REA, because we too often criticize, but we also need to give credit where they've actually done something right. So
I sincerely buy in what you said. For me, growing up, I've always known a government agency to be characterized with those bureaucracy. Hold on, we have to wait for approval. But the dynamic is different. I think under Damilola, the Rural Electrification
Agency. Who's from Lagos.
Who is from Lagos. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Lagos, thumbs up to you guys. She's really representing you people. We are proud of her. She's actually one of those young Nigerians who have actually proven that leadership goes beyond gender and goes beyond age, mm-hmm. because she has these two things. You know, mm-hmm. she's a young Nigerian, and she's also a female mm-hmm. who is doing very innovative. Under her, the Rural Electrification Agency has attracted well about $350 million mm-hmm. from the World Bank. There's also a counterpart of about $250 million from AFDB. Mm-hmm. All this is going through to the off-grid mm-hmm. and also some of the grid connected areas where the university projects. So I can say there's one Nigerian who is doing very well. Mm-hmm. And can she do better? I think she can also do a lot more, because if given the right support, it's about mm-hmm. where you're placed, it's about the people you work with. She has changed that organization. I used to be there before she came in, but I can say that what the system is now, even mm-hmm. the people you come in, you see the work environment is totally a corporate environment. Right. You won't know you're in a government agency. Right. And for we as stakeholders, what we can continue to do is to support them.
Yeah.
Is to support them to deliver on their mandate. Yeah. And that is why we're doing that. We're doing that as private developers. We're also doing that as an industry group as well, to ensure. And where we feel that there are concerns and there are needs for some adjustment, I think they've also opened the listening.
So it's a two-way
ears.
Dialogue.
It's a two-way dialogue. You know, she has a very open door policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be very frank, I'm not saying this. I think she is one of the government officials that actually thrilled me. Send Damilola a mail at 2 a.m.
Yep.
You get a reply at 2:10 exactly. or 2:05.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
shows
and a
you,
helpful reply.
Yes, yeah. and a very yeah. helpful reply. Yeah. That shows you the level a government official can go.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have to come to the office and queue up or yeah. get to yeah. see her.
Yeah.
Just with an email, she can actually get you the answers and yeah. the replies yeah. that you need.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And I can only but say she's doing well, and yeah. we will continue to support her
yeah.
where we feel there are concerns also to look into the plight of developers as well. We've not failed, yeah. and she has always listened yeah. to us.
So time is running quickly, and we need to go to the phone lines. So Yvonne, can you please play the number so everybody can interested?
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
Okay, so while we're waiting for callers, and we'll keep an eye on that, if a community, if someone out there is listening and they know that they're from a community that could use a mini grid, how do they get ACOB Lighting to come and serve them?
Okay, so we are actually on web. We are based in Abuja.
But you can still work in Lagos.
We can still work in Lagos. I mean, we don't even have a solar mini grid plant in Abuja. That's to show you how much we concentrate on our parameters in terms of we have to be sure that there's viability for the market. Mm-hmm. We have to be sure that the demand is right. We also have to be sure that the people have the willingness and ability to pay for the energy that we're bringing, because this is not government project. So we're gradually moving from the mentality of it's government project, it's nobody's project. So we come, we assess the community, we carry out a feasibility load audit to see what the capacity is, and also check the use of alternative energy sources from which we can size the ability and willingness of the people to pay for this energy. So once that is, that box is ticked, we sign an exclusivity with the community. The exclusivity actually shows that we are private developers that will develop this project. From there, we move on to signing an MOU. All these are all in line with the NEC regulation, Nigeria Electricity Regulation Commission, standard regulation for deploying mini grids. And once that box is ticked, the exclusivity, the MOU is ticked, then we just go into financial close and start, you know, deploying the projects. And these projects can average be deployed within 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
When the right fundings and everything is in place.
Right.
So we're consistently engaging the banks as well. We're engaging Nigerian banks to believe that this is the next market. We know the concerns in the power sector. A lot of people are concerned that, oh, over the years, the power sector, there's been a lot of issues. But we want to say, give this space a benefit of a doubt.
Yeah.
People who are frontliners in this space have the opportunity to actually change the narrative. And it can happen.
Right.
Just trust it. Run a couple of pilots, finance this, and see how the payback goes. Then you can leverage on other opportunities, because we are quite a number of us growing.
Right.
And if I have just 3.5 megawatts, you can imagine what my colleagues actually have. Aggregate that together. These are $1 million investments opportunities that can actually be revealed.
So maybe you can repeat how people can get in touch with you. Do you have a call center or Twitter handle, website?
Exactly.
What do you have where they can engage with you?
So you can reach us via our website, which is www.ecoplighting.com. You can also reach us via our phone number, which could go to 080-3290-2825 or via email info@acoblighting.com.
And ACOB is A-C-O-B?
ACOB is A-C-O-B, then the normal lighting, L-I-G-H-T-I-N-G.
Okay.
And you can also reach us on Facebook, ACOB Lighting Technology Limited.
Okay, and give us the number one more time so if people are trying to write it down. What's the number one more time?
080-3290-2825.
All right. So we're coming to the end of the show, so I wanted to just do one more thing. So I know you kind of, your leadership in this space was recognized by you becoming a Washington Mandela Fellow under the Young African Leaders Initiative. And I know you spent part of the summer at Rutgers University and all that. So maybe to close out, tell us a little bit about that program and how you've come back and what that's going to mean for Nigerians for getting power even faster.
Thank you very much. I was one of the 56 Nigerians out of the 22,000 Nigerians that actually applied.
56 out of 22,000.
Yes.
Okay.
That applied for the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program, which is actually sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, to actually bring in young Africans who have distinguished themselves in various fields of their economy, you know, that cuts across civic leadership, business entrepreneurial leadership, and public advocacy.
Okay.
So I was in the Rutgers Business School. It was a very good experience. Imagine yourself in the midst of 700...
And Donald Trump paid for everything, right?
Funny enough, they paid, and that was very good. Yeah. So it shows also the depth of commitment the United States government also has towards building human capacity development in Africa, because about 700 young Africans like me were brought to the U.S. to spend 7 to 10 weeks, depending on the programs that they are in there for. What that did for me was to also validate the fact that as Africans, we can leverage on our individual differences to see how well we promote the space. So I've been able to work with young Africans who are innovative in their thinking and leaders in their own field,
mm-hmm.
to see how well we can harness opportunities in their country and how well they can harness in our country to better it.
Right.
I've also been able to build a very strong network of partnerships in the U.S. that can also add to what I am doing and help me accelerate the, you know, what I am doing here. So I can say it was a good experience. It's not just their fun all over,
mm-hmm.
but real business networking, right. capacity building, and leadership training.
Yeah.
So I want to say a big thanks to the U.S. government for doing this. I think this is the fourth in series,
okay.
and it's still ongoing. It shows the depth and commitment. And for me, coming back, I'm more energized now mm-hmm. to bring in more of those things that I have learned to see how well I can continue to build on what I am doing and take it to the next level.
All right.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Alex, for taking time out from your birthday to join us here on the show.
Thank you very much.
And thanks just for all the work you're doing across Nigeria, not just for your own mini grids, but also to promote the growth of the sector for all of your partners and peers and competitors.
Thank you, Weber.
And the end result is going to be thousands, if not millions, of Nigerians who will have light and will be able to completely transform their economies and livelihoods. And we thank you for that.
Thank you so much. It's a great honor and privilege. I mean, I'm one person who is very proud of what you're doing. Keep believing in us, and I promise you we won't fail you. Thank you very much.
All right. I think we can end with that. Thank you, Alex. And Lagos, have a good week.
Thank you.